Britain family have an interesting little history tied to Thailand, no pun intended, and the Lord's leading them to go to Great Britain. I'm looking forward to what the Lord has laid on their hearts for us, and so I hope your heart is open for what God has for you. Brother Britain, God bless you.
Okay, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. Thank you, Pastor Blaylock and Pastor Andrews at the back, for the invitation to tell you about our ministry. So what I intend to do is to tell you a little bit about my testimony, how I came to know the Lord, how I ended up in Thailand, and how the Lord is using the life of myself and my family to go into ministry in England. So let me just put you in the picture. I think you could probably tell from the accent where I'm from. Okay, I was born and bred in Britain for 26 years, and I'd like to tell you, I didn't really hear a very clear presentation of the gospel over there. Despite the fact that many people think Britain is still a Christian nation, you don't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, being as lost as a ball in high weeds, as my pastor would say, I decided to study. I decided to study philosophy. So I studied philosophy in Manchester, and that was my undergraduate degree, and then I studied philosophy as a postgraduate degree in London. The only thing you really come to know when you study philosophy is that you don't really know anything. And it took me 7 years to understand that. A lot of time and a lot of money. So for the young people out there, it's not something I really encourage you to be doing. Anyway, after working so hard academically, I thought, well, I deserve a holiday. That's a vacation. And so I needed to go somewhere relatively cheap. So I went to Thailand. Arrived in Thailand in 2004. Very early on, I met my wife. She was living in a small village next to the country we know today as Myanmar. Some people might know it as Burma. So my wife was living in a small village on the Thai side of the border. She is Thai. And she was Buddhist when I met her. I was pretty much a practicing atheist. When I met my wife, she couldn't speak any English, and I couldn't speak any Thai. But after 2 weeks, there we go, we were married. I like to say the only reason why she married me is because she never understood me. Well, she's stuck with me now, so there we go. Our family began to grow, and it was really during those circumstances that the Lord really began to work on my heart. In order to teach English in Thailand, I had to leave the country, and I had to go to a small country called Laos for a visa. In Laos, I was on my own in the hotel room. I really had no one to talk to. And it was then I was in a secondhand bookshop, and I was beginning to think, what am I going to read? And so I purchased a very small copy of the Bible. Really, what convicted me to buy the Bible, I couldn't really have the time to go and explain that now, but I bought a copy of the Bible, and I took it back to the hotel room, and I started to read the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, of course, you have the great I am statements of Jesus Christ. You know, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I thought to myself, well, if Jesus is really correct in what he is saying to me, then this is something that I really need to listen to, something I need to investigate. I mean, after all, philosophy was all about the investigation of truth, and I never found it, and then I'm reading the word, somebody actually claims to be truth. And I knew that philosophy couldn't help me in my circumstances, now that I was living halfway around the world, married into a strange family. I really shouldn't use the word strange, but it was very strange to me at the time. You know, when your wife is somebody that eats insects, I mean, I think that qualifies as a bit strange. I can tell you these things. She's not here. but there we go. So I was beginning to pray as well. I mean, something was going on in my heart, and I went back to Chiang Mai, where my family live. That's a northern town in Thailand. I went back to Chiang Mai to be with my family, and I said to my wife, her name's Linda, I said, Linda, I have some news for you. And she said, what? I said, I'm a Christian. Now, let me just explain. I didn't really understand the gospel at that point, but I was praying, and I was reading the Bible, and I said, I'm a Christian. And she looked at me with strange eyes, and she said, well, of course you're a Christian. I said, what do you mean? She said, you know, pale skin, blue eyes, European Christian. I said, no, it's not like that. You know, where I come from, not many people believe in God. She didn't really understand what I was talking about. Anyway, quite independently from me, when I was working one day as an English teacher, my wife was befriended by another Thai lady, and this Thai lady approached my wife and said, oh, I noticed that your husband is a Westerner. And my wife said, yes. And this Thai lady asked my wife, is your husband a Christian? And my wife said, I think so. And then this Thai lady gave my wife the scriptures in her own language. And so I arrived home one day, and my wife is reading the book of Genesis about creation. And she's going through the book of Genesis, which is amazing. Because to the Buddhist mindset, you know, creation is something completely different. The Buddhists don't have a creation story. So now my wife is understanding where the planets, the stars, the animals, the plants, the trees, where they come from. And she just can't stop reading the book of Genesis. And so that was amazing in itself. Now let me just cut a long story short. My wife and I and our children, there you go, you can see them behind us. We have one son and two daughters. My wife and I, we were in a local market, and there was a missionary family from Florida, Panama City, and they were giving out gospel tracts. Now, the pastor, his name is Pastor Michael Frederick, he knows Pastor Andrews at the back, he was just beginning his church plant in Chiang Mai. Oh, I'm going back about 13 years now. So he's just beginning his church plant, and they're giving out these gospel tracts. And my wife, she finds one in the basket and of our motorbike, and she takes it home, and she reads it. It's a gospel tract. It had like 10 questions. Do you know who God is? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know that he died on the cross? And so she read this gospel tract, and she wrote her name and then her address, and she put it in the mailbox and posted it back to the missionary. And he was really excited because he's thinking, great, finally someone's replied to a gospel track. And so he sent my wife some more material in the post. And it was really a sort of a Creation to Christ correspondence course. And so my wife, I had no idea, but she's reading more and more material about the gospel until one day she announces to me, oh, Tom, we have a missionary coming to visit our house. And I said, a missionary? And she said, yes. I said, where's he from? America. Oh, really? I said. And I said, why is he coming? And my wife said, to teach Bible. Her English wasn't perfect at that time. To teach Bible. And I said, well, why does an American missionary need to teach me the Bible? I mean, I'm English. I know it all. I had to get that in there because, of course, I didn't know anything. I can say that to you now. When he came around, he explained something very, very vital, which I had never heard before. He explained about the divine inspiration of the scriptures. I'd never had that understanding of the Bible as far as I was concerned. The Bible was just a religious book written by men, some of it history, some of it myth, legend, whatever the case. I had no idea about the divine inspiration of the scriptures. So once I understood that we had the very words of God in our hand, then he took me to gospel verses like John 3:16, and I understood the gospel, and so did my wife, and we got saved and baptized into the church plant that he was doing. So it was amazing. During a vacation to England back in 2009, I took my family to my home country, and of course in England today you still have a lot of evidence of Christian heritage. I mean, you have the great cathedrals, you have churches, you walk into any museum and you'll read Christian history. So the country has a great deal of Christian history, but you don't hear the gospel. So the Lord really burdened my heart to go home with the gospel. So when we think of England, if we could go to the next slides, thank you very much. Some of these pictures might come to mind. We might think of the royal family. We might think of Big Ben. You know, to many people, England is still, it's a historical country, it's a royal country, and to many, still a Christian country. But I'm here to tell you that it really couldn't be any further from the truth than that. England is very, very far from, the Word of God today. If we could just go to the next slide. Okay, there are many social problems that missionaries and pastors face in the UK. You know, one of the problems in Britain is a very big drinking culture. That leads to all sorts of social problems. I mean, on the streets of the cities and towns, on most nights, the police are faced with constant problems. Depression. One in four British adults consider themselves depressed. I mean, that's an incredible statistic. If we could go to the next slide. Of course, there's the Muslim issue. The Muslim population today of England is about 3.5 million. England has a population of 58 million. Now, the thing about the Muslim population is that it's doubled in the last 10 years. And the real concern is the fertility rate of Muslim families is much higher than the fertility rate of non-Muslim families. So I think they average 7 children per family. And of course, when you have the problems of immigration, we have, tens of thousands of Muslims coming into the country as well. If current trends were to continue as they are, then they are saying that England could become, something like an Islamic state within 50 to 60 years. So that's a huge problem. Having said that, the minority group that are listening to the gospel and accepting the gospel more than any other minority group in the UK is the Muslims. So there's great potential there as well to bring the gospel. Okay, if we could go to the next slide. Okay, many churches are closing. Let me just tell you, the denomination the biggest denomination, church denomination in England today is the Church of England. Okay, but it's a shrinking church. Something like 30% of the population would consider themselves to be Church of England, but that doesn't mean that they go to church. And even if they do go to church, they don't hear a clear presentation of the gospel today. It's very ritualistic in what they do. People that actually attend church on a Sunday, you're looking at sort of like a 4% of the population, 3 to 4%. The numbers go right down. And now if you think about actual evangelical Christians that want to share the gospel with people, the numbers go down even further to 1%. So many church buildings owned by the Church of England are sold off. They're renovated into restaurants, into bars, into homes, into mosques. And this is not uncommon. This is very, very common throughout the United Kingdom today. Again, it's a tragedy when you consider, what were those buildings built for? They were built, some of them 1,000 years ago. Some of them, 800 years ago, 700 years. They were built to glorify and worship our Creator and our Savior. So we have a great tragedy. Okay, if we could go to the next picture. Okay, Market Harborough, England. This is where our ministry is going to start. Our ministry is a church planting ministry. Okay, I am a missionary, a church planter. When I was in the UK, I met an American missionary, and he said, "Brother Tom, you have a church planting ministry, is that correct?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Well, there aren't many independent fundamental churches in the UK, as you know." I said, "That's correct." And he said, "Well, how would you feel about taking on a work that's already begun, but doesn't currently have a pastor?" I said, "Well, that's interesting." He said, "There is a church in a town called Market Harborough. This town is in the very heart of England, and it has a population of about 40,000 people." He said it was started by an American missionary, but he was under-supported, and he came back to the United States. And so he said, "There's a membership of about 8 people in this church, and they have no pastor, no missionary to lead that work." And he said, it probably doesn't mean much to you, Brother Tom, but it's in Market Harbor. I said, Market Harbor, really? He said, yeah, Market Harbor, do you know it? I said, yeah, that's my hometown. So really, I'm going back home. I was raised in Market Harbor from the age of 7 to 19. And when I left Market Harbor 20 years ago, I thought I would never have a reason to return back there ever again. Well, the Lord had different ideas. So, as I say, it's a small church. If we could go to the next slide. It's a small work, but the Christians there, they have enough money to cover the rent. They produce some gospel tracts and things like that. But I'm really keen to get there because I really want to work with the people. We were there with them last year, my family and I. Last year, we were with them for 4 months. And so I got to do some preaching and teaching in the church, and we all got to make good relations with the people there. I would like to do something my pastor did with me in Thailand. He did a local Bible institute. So I studied the Bible for 4 years part-time, and I would like to maybe do something similar in the church at Market Harbor because, you know, it's all about raising up disciples of Jesus Christ, and that's what I'm there for. Should the Lord will, and a man would be raised up to take on that work as pastor, then as a missionary, I would be able to go elsewhere in the UK and begin another church plant. So we're very excited to be over there. My wife perhaps isn't so excited about the weather. It rains a lot in the UK. But we're really, really excited. If we could go to the next slide, I'll just tell you a little bit about my deputation experience. Most missionaries, the vast majority of missionaries I suspect that you hear from are American. They have a base here so they can visit churches and present their ministries. It may not surprise you to know there aren't too many independent Baptist churches in Thailand. But there are a few, and I have visited them to present the ministry. Part of my burden, really, to take our ministry to our brothers and sisters in Christ in Thailand was to encourage them to have a broader mind for missions. In the developing nations like Thailand, you know, I've seen that, you know, because I was saved over there and I grew up in the church over there, I've seen that really there's still very much the mentality that they're the receivers. But as Christians, we have to learn to be givers. And that's true of any Christian, no matter what our physical circumstances. So we do have one or two supporting churches in Thailand, which is good. If we could go to the next. I've been to Japan. I've been to Japan on two occasions to present the ministry. So it's great to have some supporting churches from the land of the rising sun as well. If we could go to the next. I've, of course, presented the ministry to churches in the UK. Again, I think it's been very important for me to encourage Christians in the UK that missions is something that's really needed today in England. It's vital. And so we have some supporting churches in the United Kingdom. And if we could go to the final slides. There we go, the United States of America. I am here for the third time, okay? I was here back in 2015 and the beginning of 2016 to present the ministry to churches like this. And I can tell you, I love coming here. I'm not just saying that. I really do. I mean, the people here are so friendly, so warm. I always have such a good reception. If only everyone here could learn to drive on the correct side of the road, that would help me an awful lot. Only the other day I was pulling out of a church with the assistant pastor in the car, and I'd only just met him, so I'd gone into autopilot, and he said, oh, we were visiting a restaurant. He said, well, Brother Tom, if you just pull out left out of the church, which I did, but I failed to go across to the right side of the road. But he was really too polite to say anything. The only reason why I know is because I looked around and saw an expression of sheer horror on his face. And then I knew there was something drastically wrong. But there we go. Well, I'm still alive, and I thank the Lord for that. He's brought me this far, so that's a blessing. I really would like to just let you know that we're almost at the end of the deputation trail. I'll be going back to Thailand to my family in November, so it's only next month. I'll have been here for 3 months. And when I go back to the family in Chiang Mai, we will apply for their UK family visas, and then, Lord willing, we'll be in the UK early next year. So all we need to do is just to raise the right amount of support for the UK immigration to say, okay, this family are going to be all right. It's just under $3,000 a month. We're not far off that target. We still need to raise another $300 per month, but we're not far off the target. And then that's what we have to do. It's not a great deal to live on in the UK. The UK is expensive. I mean, fish and chips, oh, it's nearly £10. That probably doesn't mean a lot to you, but it's heartbreaking to me. And, you know, I'm British, so if I need to, I can do a small part-time job. It'll be a sort of bivocational ministry just to meet the family's needs. But we're very excited. And I hope that really the presentation can be an encouragement to you because, you know, when I think back and I think there I was, you know, a philosophy student. You know, as a philosophy student, you're very critical of something like the Bible. And my wife, she was from a Buddhist family. And it's just incredible the people that the Lord is going to use. And we have to humble ourselves. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, I mean, we receive the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our heart. And, you know, when we do that, when we're humble, you know, it's just incredible what the Lord can do with your lives and my life. It's absolutely wonderful. I never dreamed I would be here today, you know, presenting my ministry, which is to take the gospel back to my very hometown. I mean, these are really things that only the Lord could work out. Just so it always amazes me. And of course, I just want to encourage you as well, you know, never give up on serving the Lord, even with tracts. I mean, sometimes we get despondent because, you know, we give out these tracts and nobody's interested or they throw them on the floor. You know, they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting the light that's shed into their life. But never, you don't know how people are going to use those tracts. I mean, my wife just took one home in a motorbike. That track was placed in the basket of a motorbike by, not even by the missionary, but by the missionary's son. He actually told his son, he said, Pastor Frederick said, Matthew, don't put the tracks in the baskets of the motorbikes because people just pick them up and throw them on the floor. And that's a little bit cheap. Just make sure that you give them to somebody's, you know, into somebody's hand. Lo and behold, my wife found one in the basket of the motorbike. And she took it home, and she ignored it for at least a few weeks. But it's just amazing. It was just that little detail, and all those subsequent events that can change lives. I mean, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that little detail. You know, God is in the details, and we should never get discouraged when we give out tracts. You just never know. You might never know this side of eternity, but one day in glory, you might well know that act of faithfulness has just reaped incredible fruit. So, amen. I may have finished a little early, but thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, sir.
And all God's people said, amen. That was a blessing. Amen. I mean, I would travel a long, long way just to hear the testimony. And what a blessing. He's going to be here. After the morning service tonight,
yes, sir.
Visiting with us tonight, not speaking, but visiting with us. So the table will be there for both services. I want you to go back there and speak with him. Are there any questions? Real quick, we have just 2 minutes, 3 minutes. A question about the ministry or the need? Oh, Phil. Anyone? Raise your hand. Yes, sir.
How far are you from the village of Northampton?
Northampton is actually very close. It'll be about 20 miles from Market Harbor. So. Okay, thank you.
Good. Excellent. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, ma'am.
Say it again.
Thirst in the UK. I'm not too sure. Sorry.
That's okay.
I'll check it out on Google.
We
have a niece that's saved, but her mother, father, and sisters are still very entrenched in their Buddhism. It's very hard for Thai people to convert to Christianity. They see it as almost a betrayal on their nationality, because their religion and nationality are very, very intertwined. So it's very hard for people to accept the gospel. But we keep praying for them.
Anyone else? One more? Yes, sir.
So the major religions that you're kind of going into would be Muslim and atheism?
I would say Muslim and atheism. Perhaps the town where we're going to is one of, I would say, you know, people there still have a Christian culture. It's still a Christianized area. But religion for British people is a very private domain. They wouldn't want to talk to you about it, certainly in public. So it's very hard sometimes to talk about the gospel with British people because they're, I wouldn't say unemotional, but they're very private about that. And it's very hard to build bridges.
All right. Anybody else? Brother Chris.
Is there a support level where you would not need to be to work with another job?
In other words, what would your support level be if you, so that you wouldn't have to work another job?
Okay, the support level if I wouldn't have to work another job would be about $4,000 a month.
All right. And all God's people said? Amen. All right, let's stand together, shall we?